listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net, and as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
You're listening to the British Podcast, a World of Us cast on oneofus.net.
That is exactly how you answer the phone. I mean, not saying that.
No. Hi, you're listening to the British Podcast. Yes, I do. I have a phone.
We'll be having this conversation. You'd be like, that fucking comic book, man. Oh, my phone's ringing. Hello, Kia speaking. It's just this.
Hello.
Yeah. It's just this complete change. It's very
apparently
funny.
I don't sound like me in my voicemail. I've actually never listened. I think I've got the same voicemail that I probably had like 5 years ago. So maybe I should update my voicemail.
Could do.
Because one of my suppliers heard it and was just like, do you sound nothing? They started talking and I was like, who is this? So I think I maybe need to update that.
So, it's the British Podcast on the World of Us cast, sort of a rotation of podcasts with our friends in various other countries. And we've got a very geek-centric episode for a change.
Yeah.
We're not talking bollocks about things. We've had a really...
Well, we could start talking bollocks quite quickly.
What do you want to talk about?
No, I was just going to say we could talk about the fact that Hillary's just said that she was going for
the Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, as... quite big fans now. Well, we kind of got into American politics, I think. You've got more into The Daily Show and, like, yeah. Last Week Tonight, which, by the way, last week's episode of The Last Week Tonight, without trying to date this episode, well, he talks to Edward Snowden.
Oh, my God, that was amazing about the dick pics.
Yeah, just how he broke down the different privacy laws, of the different snooping programs that the NSA and people have. And just going, like, if a dick pic was with this one, what would happen?
Yeah, he's
this would happen.
Can they see my dick? Yes, they can see your dick.
Yeah.
It was just like, he's like, I suppose I never thought about breaking it down.
I never thought about making it into moronic terms for people to understand.
Yeah, of just like,
yeah.
If someone could see my partner's penis, I would not be happy about that. It was amazing. It was so fucking clever.
But I think
I just also loved just how annoyed John Oliver was that he was late and he wasn't good. What do you reckon is going to turn up?
The old KGB building as well. Yeah.
Very funny.
No. But I think people like Professor Brian Cox tries to do that with, like, astrophysics quite a bit. And sort of about this is how I can make it so it's accessible for more people. Because, I mean, science wasn't really accessible when I was at school. Like, I hated science because I had very beardy teachers that, unless you got it, they just generally mocked you. So I was in the... We had sets at my school. And I was in the bottom set for science. And
I was in the top set.
Yeah.
I was also mocking you.
I went to a grammar school, though. So my bottom set would have been, like, way above your top set.
Yeah, but then you're in Kent. So, to be honest, there could have been trolls in the top set and it would have been okay.
What did you get at GCSE for science?
Dolby.
Oh, so did I. Interesting.
Do you know why? Because when if the paperwork I could get was the highest was a double B, so
in the top set.
No.
Anyway, we're kind of going into very English kind of things, but no, I just think the idea of breaking something down, like any subject which is really really detailed, and we
still. I'm still giving you the eye. We're just being like, oh, is that not what you got?
Yeah. It's not often I get to lord over you with anything, so my education is one of them. Until we get,
I was going to say, until you we get best to, take your shit back, sir.
My early education, my GCSEs and my A levels, like the high school type thing, college / uni. Yeah, we won't talk about that. The idea of just breaking something down into very simple terms is amazing. Yeah. I think that's the way that all things should be. You're a bit of a cough, haven't you?
Yeah. It's, if we had done this last week, it just would have been an abomination.
Yeah, I'm so glad when Chris said, no, you're not recording this week. I'm like, thank God, because I would probably kill her. In terms of, we've had an incredibly geek-centric couple of weeks, which is pretty standard for us anyway. But I think we need to talk firstly about, I was planning on this actually being an intervention for you. But luckily you seem to have cured yourself.
I have cured myself. I think it was definitely bordering on the point of intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Intervention.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's a fucking game. It's a fucking iOS, Android, stupid game.
It's very, if you've ever played not Game Dev Story, it's something very, very similar to that. There's a whole bunch of games by a company called Kairosoft, and they make games where you have to build it's a games thing, and I can't remember what it's bloody called.
Anyway, the game that I got slightly possibly hooked on was called Fizz, and you were a brewer. And you owned a brewery, and you started off like in a very cool sort of like in your, you know, garage brewery.
I'd imagine this would be set in Austin, Texas. Like a bunch
of. It's not Portland?
It could be Portland. Portland, Austin, that type of. Yeah, or Shoreditch in the UK would be very much that type of thing.
A bit of Haggerston.
Yeah, poncy little craft brewery, and you're going to make this beer.
Says the man who buys the poncy little craft brewery.
Because it tastes nice. Yeah. If there was a massively commercial lager on the market which tastes nice, well, like Cobra. Cobra's nice.
I hate Cobra.
Cobra and Kingfisher are nice beers.
Kingfisher's very different from Cobra.
And they're both very commercial drinks. They're not Indian and Chinese. They're British lagers.
Mm.
But they're sold as Asian.
Mm.
Anyway, go back to your game.
How long have you been playing this game?
I can't remember. I mean, I'd had it for a little while. I think I literally Googled,
because it's all cutesy 8-bit graphics that just.
Yeah, so it's
pulls it, a, pulls
so like
a
the Kairosoft
string.
Game. So I've got Pocket Stables, which is one about you start your own racehorse in stables. There's F1 Story, where you start your own Formula One team.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But I just found it. I don't know whether I just like looked up new games to play on Android or whatever, or I might have even searched like craft brewery game. I can't imagine I would have done that.
I can imagine you would have done that.
I could have done that, and I found this game, and I think I played it a little bit. And then I kind of like Facebooked about it, and a couple of other people were like, tell me what this game is called.
Yeah.
And then I think we're then on a train up to London. We're going to see some friends for drinks and some friends who are in the country. It was the Friday night, wasn't it?
I'm looking blankly at you.
Yeah, you are. Friday night we went to Freedom.
Oh, yes.
We've got some comics and things, but I thought I'll just play this game. And you literally sat there with your head on my shoulder.
I did. I just watched you play the game.
Yeah. And just pick up the idea. And then the next day, it's on your iPad mini. And it's also then on your iPhone.
No, I've never played it on my iPhone. I downloaded it.
Okay.
And then I was like, you have issues and you need to stop this. So I took it off my phone. So it's only on my iPad mini, mainly due to possible issues with battery life, and that my iPad mini could last longer playing the game.
Okay. But the general premise of the game, you start in a very small little brewery.
You're
like
making
everything.
Money.
You're making money. You're trying to find new markets. You have new recipes.
You make a profit or a loss on each batch.
You have a nemesis. You get new equipment.
You have a nemesis?
Yeah.
That dickhead.
Yeah. It's you keep going till you win like the top prizes and you build up to become the greatest brewery of them all, and then you become Budweiser, and then you're horrible, no one wants your drink, and another craft brewery starts.
No, you don't seem to understand, because you haven't got to the end of the game.
No, because I've had to do other things. So at the end of the game, it tells you how long it took you to complete it. How long have you played that game for, Kia?
Before completing it, I think I may have played it for 4 or 5 days.
What was the total time actually you spent playing the game?
Slightly over 19 hours.
19 hours. On a mobile game. This isn't what's the fucking games you play? Like the
Oblivion, Skyrim.
Skyrim. Yeah. And, yeah. It's like,
no, I know I had a serious issue, but I'm over my fizz issue now.
You're over it because you finished the game.
Yeah, that's because I finished
the game. You know there's a fizz too, right?
What? Get it on my iPad.
No.
Oh, seriously, when they release a Fizz 2, I'm all over
there might
that.
Be some DLC at some point, I don't
know. Well, yeah, you can carry on playing either as the characters you have at the end, and I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end, because it's awesome, and I think you'll make it. There is a choice to be made at the end, and I think...
Like The Walking Dead?
I haven't played The Walking Dead, but probably Like The Walking Dead. We'll go with yes, just because you sounded so excited about it. I don't know if you can make the same decision as I did.
Oh, okay. That'd be quite nice if it's kind of cool. But yeah, so that's kind of...
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no exit button. There's only save and exit. And I don't think if you just, like, close it, I think it does still save it. Because I was considering pressing one button, seeing what happened, and then closing it down and pressing the other button. And I don't think I could do that.
I did that with... there was a game on the PS3 where you you upgraded all your body bit by bit. Deus Ex... And you get to the last bit, and you get to press three different buttons.
Is this the game where we worked out that we've been saying that wrong?
No, because it's Deus Ex Machina, and I had to say it.
Okay.
At the end of the game, like, this AI gives you a choice to press one of three buttons, like, different things. So, of course, I pressed one button and watched the ending. And all it basically was a different video, but I went back and did it three times to see the different ending. I didn't have to go back and play anything. It literally just loaded the last bit again.
Okay, well, you're very lucky.
Yeah, I know some games, it's like, you've got, like, some games, Heavy Rain on PS3 had 20 different endings, and you had to, like, but that's 20 different paths the game can take.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's...
So, like, you've got to play it 20 times differently. Like, you might take you 30, 40 attempts to do that, because obviously if certain events happen, it's not a case of... just A or B, you'd have to earn it by hitting something correctly or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm glad that I'm over this. I am very interested to see what decision you do make at the end, because I think that will be, that'll be fascinating. But it does mean that because I have been playing so much Fizz that other things in my life may have suffered, possibly our relationship, but more importantly, my...
Don't say that. Are you breaking up with me?
No. Oh, but we did have a very funny moment that somebody on my Facebook feed thought that we had cancelled the wedding because I had a wedding dress to sell.
Did they think that was genuine?
He was just like, holy shit, when I saw him. He was like, holy shit, don't ever fucking do that to me again. I just looked at him and was like, wow, that's one way to find that out. And yeah. I thought it was very funny. Yeah. So I had another wedding dress to sell and I put it up there and he thought that we cancelled the wedding.
97 days to the wedding.
Check us out.
It was only because of an app told us that. Then. Yeah.
but no, the other thing that suffered is my comic reading. I seem to be a little bit behind.
I don't really want to edit all the coughs out. Can you just try and make sure?
Should I try and cough?
Yeah. We haven't got a cough button. It's not a posh enough mic, unfortunately, to do that.
I have a mute button.
You have a mute button, yeah, but they hear it go dink dink when you press it in, which means I've got to edit that out.
Oh, okay.
So, if you can just try to...
I apologise.
Maybe have a cushion and just put it up to your face, like many times I've thought about doing.
Well, at one point, this cough was so horrific that I just couldn't sleep. I actually ended up sleeping like two floors away from you because I was like, you're never going to get any sleep. I'm not getting any sleep. This is horrible.
So back to where we are, all about tangents. So you haven't read many comics recently?
No. I mean, you've read Letter 44 Volume 2 that came out.
And Seconds.
You said that was awesome.
Letter 44 was was brilliant. Yeah, I Charles Saul is just, the artwork as well is absolutely stunning. And I'm just loving the storyline. It's just, it's really good. You've got half in space, half on Earth.
Mm.
You've got secret ops stuff. You've got like near future technology. You've got aliens and it's just, it's amazing. I'm really, really enjoying it. But it's left on it again on a huge fucking cliffhanger, which is a bit of a pisser.
Well, but they seem to like doing that at the end of the volume. I mean, the first volume did that, the second volume, if that's doing it as well. Then...
And the books are really pretty as well. Like the actual sort of, the covers to them are kind of...
Yeah, I've noticed that. They put a lot into that.
Mm.
And I know what's going to happen. They're going to do like six volumes and then like the seventh volume, the number isn't going to line up and I'm going to cry.
No, I think people are aware of that now that most...
Then they still do it.
Mm.
Like, it's so lazy.
Fair enough.
It's like, think about your audience. We're obsessive people. Don't move the number. Like, 10 centimetres up. It's not even that. It's like half a centimetre up, and that's what's so irritating.
Just off.
Just slightly off.
But yeah, so I got Seconds for My Birthday from you.
Yes.
By Brian Lee O'Malley, which I burnt through. Really cute book, very lovely, very different from Scott Pilgrim, but still had some kind of otherworldly type thing to it. And I really enjoyed that. What else have I read? I've been reading a ton of Image comics.
Yeah, you read Why the Last Man, book 2.
Yes, Vertigo, yeah.
I bought at the con and then haven't read.
I read that yesterday.
Yeah, so.
And a little bit today? Yeah, a little bit today. Finished off today, I think.
Yeah, I'm super looking forward to reading that. Mm. That was recommended to me by a friend. Like 2 years ago, almost.
It's 2 years ago. It's been one of those books on my list of things that I have to read, but with so many good new books coming out, you kind of think, those books are always going to kind of be there, and I will get to them eventually.
That's why I decided to buy it in the book format rather than even the trades, because...
Yeah, so it's two trades in one, isn't it?
It's two trades in one.
So it's volume 1, 2, 3, and 4 we've got in two books, which is nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's not hardback. It is still, like, carryable in a bag and stuff like that, but I did buy it specifically so I couldn't just go and... instantly spunk like £100 on comics.
Yeah, because you could
not that I do that.
No, yeah, you didn't do that with The Walking Dead at all. In terms of things, I'm trying to think what else I've been reading. I've started reading Jupiter's Legacy from Mark Millar because it's out in trade now.
I was talking about earlier, Ron. Is that? You said it was.
It's cool, it's quite interesting to begin. I mean, I struggle with Millar a bit. But what I've read of it, I've only read about, I think I'm like only like the first issue or two in, but it's been good. It's definitely more in-depth writing for Millar. It's not just the usual big tits, violence, swearing, gratuitous. It's a lot more thought out and detailed. So it's definitely the best thing I've read by him in a while. And I know it's actually quite old. It came out ages ago. But yeah, I mean, it's another one that's been optioned for a film because a lot of people would argue, he would say not, but a lot of people would argue that Millar writes his comics as film storyboards to get them turned into film because you get paid a fuck ton of money for that. So Kingsman, Kick-Ass, Nemesis is now going to be a film. Wanted, they're all comic books of his that have all been turned into films. So, and obviously a Kick-Ass 2 and whatnot. But yeah.
I think that's it on like the comic front, because a lot of this weekend has been taken up with yesterday was International Tabletop Day. And so we at Need to Consume decided to run a tabletop day, which was a fucking resounding success.
Yeah, massive success.
To the point that we took over the whole of upstairs area. I think at one point we did have 50 people playing board games.
In a small London pub.
In a London pub. And
on Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yeah, and we had to turn people away because we couldn't get the tables to be able to put any more games out.
So I'd like to officially now say that I think we're going to do this quarterly because it's a great thing to do. I think waiting a whole year to get together to play games.
So many people that I was saying, they were just like, do you guys do this regularly? How can we find out about it?
Yeah.
And it was awesome to see like the huge cross-section of people that came in.
The diversity was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
It was a United Colours of Benetton advert. It was
amazing. It was fantastic because everyone was just saying that everyone was swapping games. You know, people turned up on their own. People turned up in groups. People turned up who were, you know, only over in London for a short time, were doing lots of things. Just like amazing stuff of like loads of different people. Age diversity was massive between the, you know, like 15, 16-year-olds that turned up to... So, you know, people in their 50s and 60s. It's fantastic.
Interesting point. I didn't realise if it was yesterday. I was like jokingly about diversity or anything, but we had no one in a wheelchair show.
That's was because it's a London pub. And
are all London pubs are terrible, are they?
Shit for access.
Okay. I did wonder whether, because like, if you're, because the guy.
Well, that would have been really, really, we wouldn't have been able to do anything. No. You couldn't even get into the pub because,
No, it's, and also like the gents' toilets is in the cellar, which is down by some really steep steps, and the ladies is upstairs. So you would be fucked if, regardless of who you are. So is that just a general rule for pubs in London?
In general, they would highly advertise if they did have accessibility, because it is quite rare.
It's more like Wetherspoons, like the more...
I was going to say, Wetherspoons would probably do it, Lord's Bar probably.
The more commercial chain pubs would be better.
Yeah, but even like Shepherd Neame, like, that take over... It are in more traditional style pub places. No, whereas like Wetherspoons, a lot of them are slightly newer build. And so quite a bit more inclusive in terms of seating.
Yeah. So talk to me about, because we didn't spend a lot of time together.
No.
For one thing, let's just get this out and done here now. You went off for a little while.
I did.
With Maria.
I had a date.
It was a date now, was it? With whom?
Mr. Zdarsky.
Chip motherfucking Zdarsky.
Yeah.
So you went along to Orbital Comics in central London, which was only like a 10-minute walk from where we were playing games.
Yeah.
To go and meet the author of Howard the Duck.
The creator of the Batman.
The creator of the Batman, according to his sign, which he wheeled out at ImageCon. Obviously the artist on Sex Criminals.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, you seem to have a really fucking good time with him.
Yeah, it was fantastic. There is an amazing video of me stroking.
Can you play the audio of that?
Can I play the audio of that? Possibly. We'll see whether we can actually...
Because this is quite funny.
...hear it. But, yeah.
I was gutted I didn't get a chance to come down and meet him. But I was halfway through a game of Elysium. But go on, see if he actually sort of plays, because it was sort of funny. So, to kind of give you, I mean, that probably isn't any fucking sense, but you wanted to stroke Chip Zdarsky's beard.
Yes, I did.
Was that on my behalf or just for you?
It was mostly on your behalf, but I have to say, it was worth it.
Was it a manly beard?
Yeah.
It was worth doing.
It was very soft, but also manly at the same time.
So you thought he was pretending the fact that Maria was actually taking a picture, and then the video ends with him like lurching towards the camera, kind of expose style of, no, don't film me type thing, but it was very funny.
It was fantastic. But and he was typically Chip in the fact that like one of my friends asked for a normal photo with him. It was not a very normal photo.
Was Maria? she was messaging me earlier something about talking about her lady parts or something, or with him.
She might have. I walked off.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I couldn't quite make
there's a large possibility that Maria started.
I think she had her just the tips being yes. signed. I think she was, something happened. I don't know. I couldn't quite make up what she was, because we had friends over earlier. And I was kind of messaging her at the same time. I didn't really read it properly. But yeah, I was like, sorry, what? You were talking about what now?
But it is Chips and Dusky. So
but it is Chips and Dusky.
Perfectly suitable.
Yeah. So yeah, so anyway, so you went and met him, which was awesome.
Yeah, I got some things signed. Mm-hmm. And just a genuinely lovely guy. Yeah. Just gives everybody a really... chats away to everybody. Mm-hmm. Just awesome.
Yeah. I kind of wish now I'd got you to pick up a couple of copies of How Up the Duck and got them signed so we could have given them away, but que sera. So yeah, anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about was, so I didn't really get a chance to see you or do much with you. So we had a ton of games at Tabletop Day, which we'll get into, but what did you play which you'd never played before?
I played a game called Seasons.
Okay.
Which I got lured into as that it could be quite quick and fun. It was fun. It was most certainly not fucking quick.
I think you racked up close to 3 hours in that game.
No. You keep saying that, and the woman told you when she arrived at the pub, and you had her in arriving like an hour and a half
okay.
before.
Okay, all right, 2 hours. So, 2 hours.
We racked up 2 hours on that game.
Okay, all right.
Which I thought was then funny, because her husband then went off, had dinner, came back to the pub, and we were still playing the same game, and he was just like, you are still playing, and then he ended up in another game on the other side of the room. She was just like, see, look, I finished my game, and... I turn around and he's gone.
So what's the premise of Seasons?
Get as many crystals as you can is the basic premise.
Okay.
The idea is that it goes through the seasons and you have 3 years in order to be able to get as many crystals as you can. There's many different ways of doing it for each different set of... So the seasons are obviously broken down into three sections.
Mm-hmm.
You have five... You have however many dice plus one for however many people are playing. So, for example, we had four people playing. We had five dice. That means that the board plays with a dice and everyone has a dice that they can pick out of things. And every single season has a different set of colored dice, which means that you're more likely to get certain elements. Say, for example, in the more rainy periods, you get more rain. It's broken down into like rain, fire, type thing. And you have also have cards in your hand, which I got told is very similar to like Pokemon cards. I've never played, but that you have certain things that the actions that they can perform on them, amount of points in the top left hand corner that it can earn you at the end of the game. And you sort of go through the seasons and you basically, there are certain things that you can fuck other people over, that if anyone plays then an action off their game, they lose crystals because someone's got a thieving fairy and things like this. And sorry.
It's okay. I think what we need to do is I'll try and give people who have a warning so they can lift the headphones off of their head before it sort of spikes with a cough. Yeah.
Yeah, so you sort of go through and you can earn the amount of cards that you're allowed to have playing. You can have a little sort of sprightly person if you end the moves with him in your hand that you like lose three crystals. So it's very layered in terms of how it works out and how many things that you have to do and think about and how you can play things by gaining energy due to what you have on your dice and what you can trade and things like that. So yeah.
What I really liked about it was I saw people you were playing with who had played it before explaining it to you. Like, I can sort of see you guys sitting there going, right, okay, so this kind of does this. Like, an hour I come back and you're like, no, this, bang, 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 bang. Like, how quickly you'd kind of gone...
Yeah, we definitely, and then we're all sort of sitting there, and the funny thing is you get at the beginning, you get nine cards, and you set them, so you look at your cards and you say, okay, you take three now, you put three down for year two, and three down for year three, and you put markers on top of them. And I remember sort of getting halfway through year two, and Maria sort of turned to me and she's like, as a card in my year three pile, I should have played as the first card of the first year. And she'd realised, because we obviously had no idea what we were doing at the beginning. And then when she picked up her year three cards, and she just sort of turned around to me and was like, as each season changes, take one crystal from every player. She's like,
why have I played? Yeah.
Okay. So that was, 12 crystals from every single player? That I could have just stolen right off the bat.
Yeah, okay. But it was, so you enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it. It's definitely not, it's not for the, for those that cannot multitask. It's very much, there's a lot of stuff going on at the same time. And you're not actually, unless you're extremely good with maths, you're never quite sure whether you're winning because you have an overall, you have an overall score, but then you also have all of the points that are down on your cards. So you're never quite sure if you're sort of like ahead or down or, because one of our friends was just like, well, I'm done. I've pretty much been on zero crystals for the entire game. And she had all the way up until year three and then just smashed out a whole bunch of cards.
Awesome.
That meant that she came in second, I think. And she was like, how many points do you have? 99. It's like,
Something you'd want to own?
No.
You're not that fussed by it?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
It's something that if someone sort of took it out again, it's just like, do you want to play Seasons? I'd say yes.
Yeah, but it's not one you'd kind of, if we had friends over and said, I've got a game to play.
Holy fuck, no.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
No, I just, it would, it's for, I'd say it's more for people who are used to playing those kind of multi-layer games. Even the games, the other games that we played, nothing was quite that sort of, you could not play this game drinking.
Okay, all right, much more, right. That's kind of like what I played. So I played Elysium for the first time, which we got sent by Esdevium Games to have a look at. And it's wrapped in Greek mythology, but it doesn't really play a part in the game.
Mm.
And there's cards and there's families. And the idea is to get as many victory points as you possibly can. And the idea is every year, there's 5 years, and each year you have four colours, and you can either choose a quest, which allows you to do things at the end of the round, or cards. And the idea is that you then have cards above your, I can't remember where it's called, or it goes below into Elysium, but you can only transfer them to Elysium if you have enough transfer points or gold and things like that.
Yeah, this sounds very much
like... Oh, really? Okay. But what you have to then match up is either...
We had transmute, just saying.
Okay.
You could transmute them.
Okay.
Into crystals.
So you had you had to get one, two, and three of the same family. So it could be Hades, Poseidon, or whatever, or five of the same number from the different families, and then you got victory points for that, and whoever the most at the end go. But you could fuck people over a little bit, but yeah, it was a long game. I mean, that's the reason why I couldn't come and meet Chip, because I was in that game. I didn't want, as kind of a semi-organizer of the event, I didn't want to go, yeah, fuck this shit, boys, I'm off, see you later, and leave them. As much as you were messaging me like saying come down, as I couldn't, I felt really bad, but I didn't want to be a dick to anyone else.
No, that's fair enough.
But again, it's another one which we've brought home with us because it's our game, but I think I'm going to give it to one of our reviewers to play, review and keep. Because what I want back from them, which they've got at the moment, which is another game that I played, was Cash and Guns, which was really good fun. And that's very much...
I just love that I walked over and there's five people sitting around a table pointing wooden guns. Foam guns at each other.
Yeah.
And I was just like... This is a game. I need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So the you're like pissing yourselves laughing. Yeah. Just
so,
like,
ooh. So the premise is you've all done this massive heist together, and you've now got to take rounds to divvy up the loot. So you've got a bunch of cards. You've got click or bang. And I think you get five clicks and three bangs, and they're all in your hand. And each round, you put down a click or a bang face down, which means you're either going to, you're going to pretend you're going to click, which means I'm not going to shoot you, or I'm actually going to shoot you. And one person starts as the Godfather. And what that means is, they have certain powers, like they get first pick of the loot. But it also means that if someone does point their gun at them, they get to ask them to point it elsewhere. So everyone does that. Whoever's Godfather goes on the count of three, draws. You get one, two, three, and you all point at somebody. In some cases, I mean, in quite a few rounds, I didn't get pointed at at all. In other rounds, you could have everyone pointing at you, especially if you're sort of winning. I don't think we kind of played it. We're all a little bit tipsy, I think. But at different rounds, yeah. So one person like had the gun pointed at them, and he just went, "As Godfather, you better point that gun elsewhere." And then they have to move the gun. So then it's like, and then you get a chance to back down. So you get the choice to go, "I'm going to put my gun down," but it means you don't get a cut of the loot, or you get to stay. If you get shot, you don't get to keep any of the loot. But if you're completely free because someone clicked or no one was aiming at you, you then divvy up for that round, and there's a whole bunch of money, and then whoever's got the most at the end wins. But what you can do is you can pass on one of the rounds to take the loot and become Godfather. So you could claim it. And one guy was doing it for ages, and no one came to challenge him. So then I challenged him. Oh, shit, Godfather. But yeah, it was really good fun. So I'm hoping once we've got the guys written the review for that, I'm going to get that back, because that would be much more for our less tabletop-minded friends. That would be a really easy game to play. Unlike Dead of Winter.
No, Dead of Winter, I really enjoyed. Didn't play it on Tabletop Day, played it a couple of days before.
Yes, because we wanted to play it to take to Tabletop Day.
Yeah.
Because that was a birthday present from you, by the way, which was lovely. Thank you very much.
Sure. But yeah, that game was quite funny, because we had a friend come down who played Dead of Winter and sort of came over and saw us playing Seasons, and it's all sort of bright colours and like all of these bright coloured dice, and she's just like, "This looks really cheery." Like your spirit broken, yes, by Dead of Winter. It's just like,
yeah,
so I heard things have been a bit depressing for you recently, so we thought we'd just kill you in the Dead of Winter. I was like, "How did it go?" "We died." Okay then.
Yeah, it's a much more... It's a bleak game, and it is a case of, there's going to be fuck all food out there, and there's going to be zombies chasing you constantly. There's no fort, there's nowhere to hide.
Oh no, there is the colony.
There's the colony, but it's not like, it's not impenetrable.
No, it most certainly isn't.
But yeah, from that point of view, it was just amazing.
Yeah, the detail in that game is fantastic. I did love the Crossroads cards, which just continually managed to mostly, actually on the game that we played, they mostly didn't fuck us over. I think we were quite lucky in that way. But yeah, I found it fascinating as sort of going through, and I ended up with only one person. But what was quite, everyone has their obviously own, you could be a traitor, and everyone does have a secret objective. And I loved that my secret objective was just to see three people die.
That's so dark.
I know.
But mine was make sure there's four barricades up on the windows. That's all I had to do. It's like, I'm just going to get some nails and wood. Yours, I want to watch three people die.
My thing was revenge. Didn't specify who, just three people. So the fact that we had four dead people,
including the Santa Claus who committed suicide, which raised the morale of the group,
because he was the mall Santa and was horrible.
Yeah, that's just like, that's how weird that game is. But it's a lot of components.
My favourite was Sparky.
Sparky the stunt dog.
Sparky the stunt dog.
Who got fitted with a gun.
Who got fitted with a gun that could kill five zombies, and also got fitted with the search goggles that meant that he could look at two items instead of one. Yeah. He was
awesome.
The best dog ever.
He was. To the point that the person playing as him would protect him first rather than the other humans. They wanted that character to survive
more.
It's
like, not Sparky!
Yeah.
But, and we all did very much feel like, no, Sparky cannot die.
No, but it was it's very much, I think, like Firefly. It's got a fairly big footprint. There's a lot of different cards. It's multitasking. You need like a DM almost running the game for you.
Yes, you definitely, a rules geek does help pretty much with any game ever, but that one in particular of someone who had, and so our friend had played it a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
So that was really useful to be able to sort of see what is happening. But it was very realistic in that sort of...
We were scavenging. We were properly, unlike Zombie 15, which is a bit more like, oh look, I'm in someone's house and I found a bazooka. You know, it was a bit more like, fuck me, I found some food. Oh, fuck.
No, because, having replayed Zombie 50, and I didn't actually play it.
You ran it.
You ran the game. Yeah. It was fascinating because it was four people, two of whom knew each other. Everyone else didn't know each other. All sort of sitting there, and I was like, "It's 15-minute rounds. We can do the first one. It'll be this sort of like prologue side. It'll build you into it. The rules do build on one another, and we can sort of go from there as to like what you do want to do." And played the first round, and they. You obviously get 15 minutes and they smashed it in 7.5 and were like, yeah, that was really easy. So they all went back downstairs to the bar and I was like, you guys go downstairs. I'll set up the second round. And they walked upstairs and one of the guys just looked at him and was like, huh, I see. And the amount of zombies had doubled. But again, it does have that sort of thing of, in the first couple of rounds, when you are searching people's houses, you are only finding hockey sticks and guitars and silent weapons. Well, silent. I loved that the banjo is a silent weapon.
Yeah, they wouldn't go plang.
No. You hear him.
It's like, have you never seen the honky tonk man with the guitar? It's just like.
It's like no, apparently it's a silent weapon. And so, yeah, you can sort of go through and, you only pick up very mundane weapons.
Oh, are we keeping you up?
No, I'm just exhausted. Today. And so, yes, you've got... So it does still have a very similar premise. The one thing was, is Zombie 15 does have a soundtrack that goes along with it. And with the first one, it's just this very sort of ambient music. With the second... track, it's growls every 60 seconds, which adds zombies to where people are. It was too loud in the pub to be able to play the music, so I gave it to one of the guys around the table. I'd run the second prologue thing for them, and it was putting out the zombies just as they came, and then needed to go off and do something else, so it's just like, okay, they lost on the second time round, when they thought it was going to be so easy. Two guys got stuck in a house. Tell me if this reminds you of anything, Dan. Two guys got stuck in a house. The girls are doing really well, going out, searching, killing zombies. And these two fuckers are lying down in a house.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah, so that happened to me when I played the game.
And so they lost horribly. And so when I gave him then the music the second time round, he was like, yeah, I can see why you were so on top of us of just like, come on, guys, you need to keep moving.
Yeah.
Because, oh, wow, this is really stressful.
Because I loved it. He said the first thing, this is a game, is a piece of piss. It's like, oh, bless you.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you.
I did just say, I was just like, oh, well, you go and get some refreshments.
Which they did.
Send them all downstairs. Dan, do you think you could help me and just put like 60 zombies on this board? Because that's round two. And it was very, very, very funny. They did do get through the second round.
Yeah.
And I think, they just massively enjoyed it to be able to. And I do like that it is a game that you could continually carry on.
Well, it's like a video game.
Yeah, you can go from, be like, actually, we're going to play from round two because we've done it before.
Yeah, you've got save points, basically, that you could go in. But also, I love the fact is that if you've got, you'd need about 35 minutes to play one round because you need to set up and everything else.
Yes, for first time players, yes.
If you came in and played like at level, bloody Nora, someone's had an email. I thought you were always, because you took it off.
Because I played the video.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Everybody has just bid on my President Business Lego figure.
How much for?
£1.48.
Boom. Hang on a minute, my president, like Mr. President, my Lego figure, shut up. What was I going to say?
You were going to say about how long it takes to set up.
Yeah, so even if it's like a level 5 or 6, it still takes a little while because you need the tiles.
It does, It depends on how, I'm not sure how easily they swap between the next ones because the first two prologues swap really easily and you only had one tile.
Yeah.
So those two are really, really quick to sort of get through one.
Imagine it may get harder. But what I mean is, if you had like a spare 40 minutes, you could play one level of that.
Yes, you could.
Where other, like, it would take us 20 minutes to set up Firefly.
It would take you another 20 minutes to explain to everybody how you play.
But you couldn't finish a game of Firefly. That's what I mean. Like,
No, you're looking at 2 hours.
No, where Zombie 15 would fit much more in, like, oh, let's have a quick game of Card Against Humanity or a quick game of Bucket of Doom or...
Well, Bucket of Doom, that's another one that's just come out.
Yeah, which is what
was a Kickstarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, most board games these days are. Oh, Kickstarter. I don't get to have my Ghostbusters Kickstarter. But it was £130. It was a lot of money on a board game. It's like, I haven't dropped... It's like, that's halfway to buying a PlayStation 4.
I love how you seem to reckon everything back towards how much it is towards a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Like, if we're just like, yeah, that's 7 comics. Yeah, that's like, you know... quarter of the way to a PlayStation 4.
Yeah. But I want a PlayStation 4.
I know,
4.
But everything comes down to the cost of a PlayStation 4. Yeah. It's like this holier... It's very funny.
Yeah, so card game-wise and everything, we had Bucket of Doom, which is like an escape scenario game. You get given an... did you look into the pack at all for that or not? Okay, let me just grab it.
I heard one of the guys explaining... how something would happen because somebody was wearing a mink fur coat and it would distract everybody so much. And I was just like, he's selling this very well, but I can tell it's shit.
No, so you've got a lovely pink bucket. So you've got the lid on it. Hang on. Ooh. Great radio, Dan.
But it did seem like a sort of relatively simple-ish
thing. So you've got a bunch of scenario cards, which is, like, what you've got to try and escape from. So we'll take it the first one.
Escape.
Oh, fuck you. Espresso.
Espresso.
So the first one is, like, you're trapped in the Death Star garbage crusher and the walls are closing in. And you'll have a bunch of cards in your hand and you've got to use that to explain how you would get out. For example, you might have, like, there's one on either side. You've got Adult Nappy or Kinder Egg. So you'd have to use that to explain how you would use those to get out of the scenario. And my one would be a tramp sleeping bag or tap dancing shoes.
Definitely the tap dancing shoes.
So I would have to come up with an elaborate story. And the idea, and what you then do is you all put it in, and then on the count of three, you all point your elbow at the person that you think had the best idea, because pointing is rude, but using your elbow isn't. And whoever's got the most elbows wins that round. And it's that simple. And that's kind of the idea. But
there did seem to be, from what I could hear from things.
Oh, there's some quite dodgy ones in there.
There were homemade ecstasy.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger's lips. Hospital hand gel. Ventriloquist doll. Well, that's just freaky.
Medical skull. A packet of condoms, XXXL size. Yeah, mink fur coat. Massive saggy beer belly. I think the black ones are the darker ones.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, luminous yellow urinal cakes.
Fatty Patty inflatable blow-up doll.
An eyeball. Kim Kardashian's booty.
VIP tickets to Z1 Direction. We're just leading out a list of fucking words here now.
But it's amazing. It's like, how would you use that to get out of the Death Star?
Yeah.
Sweaty yoga mat.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, so, and I love it. It comes in a proper little bucket and everything like that.
Yeah.
So we had that there. We had Sopio, which is a cool little indie...
Did anyone play Sopio?
Yeah, there was a guy who recognised... Okay. He's played it before. So he set up a game and got run in, and people were sitting there
Loved that. The amount of people that were just sort of then, like, you know, they finished a game and just wandering around and watching another game, just being like, okay, so how are you guys doing here? And, you know... We had a guy come over and he was just like, so, you know, what's going on here? And we were just like, we've been lied to. We're told this is a quick and easy game. It is not quick and it is most certainly not fucking easy. We're sort of saying, you know, he lied to us.
We had a game of Zombie Dice, which is always a classic.
Yeah, Zombie Dice is
I saw people
good.
Playing Dobble, because I gave that to them. It's like, it's Snap on Acid. And they're like, we're in. This is so started playing that. People were playing Super Fight.
Yeah, Super Fight, I heard a few games.
Which is another Kickstarter game. Oh, you give a couple of games?
No, I heard a few games of Super Fight going on. But yeah, it was great. Some people also brought some more sort of like old school games.
There was some proper old... There was the I think it was called the Business Venture Game or something.
Yes, someone
that
was...
That looked fucking old school.
Yeah, someone was really enjoying that on the table next to me.
It was Pandemic. I had a game of Pandemic, my first ever game of Pandemic. It lasted 3 rounds because we got fucked over with the cards. So we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't get a chance to do... I had one go and the game was over. So I saw that being played. There was a really cool like space... Oh, I can't remember what it was called now, but like a really cool like space battle game, which
yeah,
was
King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo we had there, yeah, which is ours. I'm trying to think what else I kind of saw. There was a really weird like chess type game called The Duke that had which had like squares,
yeah,
and they had like different characters on them.
Ninnies, the brain.
What?
Is this one that was in the corner?
They were playing in the corner. No. That was another game called, like, Take the Brain.
Take the Brain. Yeah, that one I saw.
The guy who was playing that seemed to have very, like, chess-orientated games.
I was just like, this looks really like chess. And he's like, it's idiot's chess. And I was just like, I like how you're selling this.
Yes. But this other one was called Duke. Looked nothing like idiot's chess. So you had two, like, velvety bags. One's with, like, dark brown squares in and one with lighter brown squares. And you had, like, a smaller board. And the idea was you had to checkmate the Duke by surrounding him so he couldn't move. And they're double-sided, and every time you did the move, which is shown on the tile, you flip it once you've done it. But there's different characters. There's like an oracle, which means you get to pull three characters out on your next go and choose one. There's one who can like shoot, like you can like move in diagonals, and it was a really complex looking game. But I think it would be quite simple to learn. But I reckon it's actually the tactics
behind
it. Well,
that's the same with chess. It's like the learning the basics of chess, actually being able to play it very well.
Yeah, you can teach a four-year-old chess.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, being able to play it well, which I can.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you're good at chess, yeah.
So it's just like that's slightly more difficult.
Yeah, but no, that was really good. I'm trying to think of any more other games I kind of... there was some guys playing Munchkin.
Yeah,
I saw
Munchkin.
And they then played like a game with a panda, and I can't think of what it was called. It had a weird name, and I can't think
of it. But I mean, to consider it, we ran the evening from 1 till 11.
Yes.
And it was a long day, and a lot of people, you know, we had...
They were there for the entire day.
Yeah, a lot of people there for the whole day. Yeah. We had a lot of people sort of, you know, come and do a little bit and then go. I'd say in total, we probably had...
In and out the door, I reckon 50.
I reckon more than that, because at one point we almost had 50 there, because when I then did the competition, because we gave away the Firefly RPG game and another game, I can't remember what it's called now, with the birds on the front.
Oh, Looney something.
Looney Quest.
Looney Quest, yeah. We gave that and the Firefly RPG game away.
Yeah, when I gave away that, there were 25 people there, and there were two tables that were not...
Well, 27 if you include us, because we didn't enter it.
I gave you one.
Oh, you gave me a card.
I didn't get a card.
Not right. I'm sorry. I was being a lad. Gave you one. No? Should I get my coat?
Just get your
coat. Okay. Okay, so 26, including you.
Yes, and that was when we had two tables free.
Yes.
So
yeah, we should have had like maybe 10, 12 people, plus people turned away.
Plus people still downstairs.
Yes.
We probably have 50 people at the most point. And
awesome.
Then, we did have other people that did come and go. So we probably had like 60, 70 people.
So if you are in the UK, so for example, people like Boogie, who I know is definitely a listener and is in the southeast. Make sure you are following us on Twitter and Facebook, because we're going to do this quarterly, because why should we only do this once a year? Fuck it. Let's do this more often.
Yeah. And it was just so much fun. Yeah. So we're going to hopefully get a bigger pub,
we're going to take over an entire pub.
Because there's two things that we know how to do. We know how to game and we know how to drink.
Yes.
And so we did. We all just sat there drinking, and they will have seen a definite spike in the amount of beer that was consumed.
Yes.
But
they're not getting our business again.
No,
they wouldn't let us move downstairs, so fuck them. Yeah,
it was
dull and boring downstairs. It's like, you're not bringing your shouting noise down here. Fuck you, how much money we're spending here. It's like, we would have easily have put 5 grand behind that bar over the course of the evening, I think.
Yeah. Well,
but
their loss.
So
we're definitely going to be doing it quarterly. We're going to take over an entire pub, and we'll sort of see where it goes from there, because we really enjoyed it. Everyone who came seemed to really enjoy it, and it was a lot of fun, and it was nice to sort of see so many people just sort of come over and just be like, hey, what are you guys playing? We're just going to sit down with a bunch of strangers and play a game that we've never played before. And people did turn up in singles, they turned up in big groups.
Yeah, those guys were like, I've just come in by myself. Dude, I'm Dan, take a seat, let's play some games. Yeah. There was no like, so what are you here for?
I did quite enjoy the idea of like the hello, my name is things though, because that would be hilarious. Those. Stick it on.
No, next time we're going to have those.
No, but I'm Edward Norton in Fight Club, and I'm having a different name for every, I'm Cornelius.
Okay, Cornelius. So that's probably the longest you've ever talked about one topic.
Yeah, well that's because I've been going on about it the entire to like all of
yeah,
last
you've been
night.
Really that's been amazing, because it's like we'd never really played board games together very often, and remember it was like I think it was Easter Bank Holiday last year, we got hammered and went into the board game shop and walked out with Firefly and came home.
Oh, wow.
The people in the board game shop must have been like, would these two fuckers please leave? Because we were in there for ages. And then,
to be honest, we were so drunk, we were probably in there about 15 minutes and we were just like, we were there forever.
Yeah. But we came home and tried to set up Firefly and was smashed.
I think we probably played like 3.5 hours. Played.
Yeah.
3.5 hours worth of Firefly and didn't like move a piece.
No. But that kind of like kicked it off, and then we got to this point, we've done it, but on the way home yesterday you just kept saying to me like every 20 minutes, like, not like in an annoying drunk way, you just went,
that's because I'd had half a shandy.
No. I wasn't saying it was derogatory, but you would just be like, man, I had so much fun. It was like, and it wasn't just a genuine like, fuck, that was good, you know. So thank you to Will Wheaton and I've forgotten her name, Geek and Sundry, who you're meeting at MCM, who was in Supernatural recently.
Now, the hands are really putting so much pressure on me that I can't even think what her name is.
have I blanked
you? You've completely blanked me.
Wow, Jedi mind tricked you.
Not as much as I Jedi mind tricked the guy in Tesco's that time when he asked me for my ID and I just looked at him and then he just put his code into the thing.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
You forgot her name.
I've completely forgotten her name.
Wow, that's bad. But they're the guys responsible for it. You're going to Google it. Quickly Google it then. Go on. Woman behind the quest. People are screaming at us right now because they know exactly who we're talking about and we can't do it. Our geek credit is on the line. What's her name, Kia? Kia, find the name. Find it.
Why does it not come out with anything?
Search the quest.
I did. Stop it.
Listen to your voice.
Shut up.
Oh.
No, stop.
This is just dead air now.
Yeah, well, just shut up then and keep talking about something.
I'm talking about you frantically for your...
I can't find who it is, so
Felicia Day.
Thank you. You're an asshole.
I kind of knew it the whole time.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I don't like you anymore.
No, I didn't. Because I kept saying Alicia in my head. I kept thinking Alicia. And anyway, so...
Felicia Day
and Will Wheaton are responsible for it. So thank you very much for that. That's amazing. And we had a great time.
Yeah,
they were liking our tweets throughout the day and everything.
Were they?
Well, the official tabletop account is, which I think they were running. But yeah, we kept putting up loads of pictures of all the different events. So go find them on our Twitter and our Facebook pages. But I want to kind of wrap up because we kind of wanted to do something else now.
Yeah, we would like to go and watch Daredevil.
Because Daredevil is fucking amazing.
And apparently, like, the next episode is awesome.
Episode 3?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Maria.
I bit that bitch.
She watched 2 episodes when she got home from the event and she left after us.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I'm hoping everyone else is watching Daredevil or has. I know someone who took the day off work to watch all 13 episodes because they're clearly insane. You can find her on the 3 Pods 1 Pod podcast. That would be Fee. But yeah, well, I think we're going to go because I want to go and watch some of that before bedtime.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been awesome so far. I'm sure we've got possibly an article hopefully going out in the next week about all of the Easter eggs that are in Daredevil, because of having not read a huge amount of it, as in i.e. none, it would be... It's nice to sort of see like a few things that sort of pop up in it that do come from other parts of the universe.
I saw someone actually bitching about the fact that they reference like Avengers and things. It's like, how can you not want
universe?
Why? How can you not want this expansive universe?
Plus, it gives them a really good bit of just like, oh, but why are they building something in Hell's Kitchen? I don't know, because someone tore the fucking hell out of it. Because
a great big green creature smashed through the building.
Yeah, it's just like. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah,
people are weird.
That versus the DC stuff where you've got Arrow, you've got a couple of shows that are tied in now with Arrow and Flash and everything. But then you've got Supergirl on another channel, you've got Gotham on another channel. It is in one universe.
Mm.
Although they're claiming it could potentially be like multiverses, but anyway. But yeah, so let's go watch some more Daredevil.
Yeah.
So guys, thank you very much. We are Need to Consume. You know where to find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. LinkedIn? No, we're not on LinkedIn.
No,
we're not.
Let's not be on LinkedIn.
Are we on Grindr?
No.
We're not on Grindr. Okay.
No dick pics for us.
No dick pic. Would you like a duck pic?
Oh, a duck pic?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I can send you a big duck pic. Thank you very much.
See you guys.